Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
It's wonderful to be here, to be in this sacred place of gathering with open minds and open hearts, willing to come together to see what wants to happen here, how the power and the presence of Spirit shows up in our words, in our songs, in our silences, and in our very being. It's no accident that humans come together in this way from time immemorial all around the world to just be in a space of togetherness. Every time I come to Unity of Fairfax, I feel something like that. Something that says, I belong here. And I hope you feel it too, because that's the consciousness we bring, that divine idea of oneness where everybody's welcome. And where we recognize the import of knowing our connection to the earth and the natural world. And where we understand that our thoughts and our words and our actions shape the world in which we all live in. And we begin that by coming together in a setting like this to just see the beauty and the majesty that each one of us is. Not a part of my script, but I just felt moved to share that with you today. Have you ever heard the saying, hold on to your horses or cool your jets? Anybody ever been told that? You know, we as human beings just get real excited about something and ready, fire, aim. I mean, then we just take off and start doing stuff. And it's like, whoa, we need to maybe slow down just a little bit, survey the situation, see what's happening so we can make some sense and some order so that we don't have to do it twice. But, you know, a lot of who live by the motto, if a job's worth doing once, it's worth doing twice. So today, I'm just going to invite us into slowing down a little bit and taking a walk, a saunter through this thing that we call Holy Week. The events that set up Easter coming up next week. And it is a wonderful teaching for us about archetypal patterning. So what do I mean by that? Is that in our lives, it often seems like we follow a pattern of events. And we can look at the events in this final week in the earthly life of Jesus and see what that might mean for us today. So I'm wondering if my mic is cutting out. I'm just going to go over to the and use the podium and not move too terribly much, because I get told, Russell, you walk away and you turn your head and then we can't hear you. So Holy Week is coming up, and you know, I'm not even going to start. I'm just going to swap out my mic. So bear with me. This is where that slide comes up, technical difficulties. Remember those of you who had a black and white television? Yeah, you know, some of you don't realize we actually had black and white televisions once. You see them in the.
We're old enough to remember them.
We are old enough to remember them, but I'm 2 weeks older than you are. So I remember it better than you do. Even though she's really the smart one, as we figured out, because Amy graduated from high school. Not sure how that happened. Well, I am sure, because she's the smart one. All right. Am I on? I'm on. It's all that coffee I had this morning. Fire aim. That's exactly Mike, before we got started. Holy Week serves as a pattern for us, and we can see ourselves in the story, in each of the days of the story, and find meaning and purpose for us. Because what the gospel writers have done, have written and recorded stories that both affirm and confirm that wherever we are, whatever is happening in our lives, presence and power of that which we call God is always with us. So let's do a quick look. Oh, and why this is important. Because often when it seems like we're going through hell, anybody ever felt that way? Felt like everything's just awful? We might question what could possibly be beneficial or valuable about this, or where is God in this situation? And what Holy Week tells us is that God is intimately interconnected with us at every moment. So Palm Sunday, we have palms here. Celebrate what we refer to as the triumphal entry of Jesus into, I'm going back to the podium. The triumphal entry of Russell back to the podium. I'm going to turn this off so we don't get too much echoing off. Bear with me. I should tell jokes about this time.
So you had to change a plan.
We had a change of plan. See, I hold on to my horses, cool my jets. Slow down. There you go. Measure twice, cut once. Palm Sunday. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Recall that Jesus was a Jew his whole life, practicing Jew, never thought anything beyond that. And yet his renown had grown in the community, and so what they would do as a sign of honor is wave palm fronds, very typical of the time. And they waved palm fronds to welcome him, and they used the word Hosanna, which means save us, which could possibly have been a political term, because recall that the time of Jesus, the area was occupied by the Romans, the foreigners who had come in and were exercising control in collaboration with temple authorities and the local rulers. So maybe people wanted freedom. They just want their land back. Or maybe they wanted to be saved from their error thinking, or they wanted to be rescued from a paradigm of us and them and better and less than. So save us, help us to establish this kingdom that you keep talking about, where everybody has a part, where women have a part and are valued and equal, and children have a part and are more than chattel property, and where sick people and are found healing. All of this stuff, they saw this idea of the beloved community as we know it, but the kingdom of heaven as it was described at the time, this message that he taught, feed one another, care for one another, all of that, this universal appreciation for everybody. That was the world and the vision that they were saying, save us, Hosanna, we want that. We want that place of equanimity. And the stories told us that he rode in on a donkey as a symbol and a model for humility. He didn't ride in with a big old chariot with his name emblazoned in gold. Hey, it was a donkey. And they threw their cloaks down. They had very few clothes anyway. What a sign of respect. The gospel writers are telling us they valued this message of the kingdom so much that things that were valuable to them, the very clothes that they owned, they would say, walk on my clothes. This vision of God's kingdom that you're offering is so not what we are living. It is worth it to us. And the Gospel of Mark put it this way. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it, and many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others laid leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. They are alive with this vision of what he was talking about, that he saw that was possible right then and right there. And yet, haven't we all in our personal lives had a similar experience? And I hope you have. Maybe that people looked at you and say, hey, she's the savior, or that sort of thing. But when you've started something new and everything's been going great, you're at the top of your game, or maybe somebody you value and appreciate, a leader, is at the top of their game. They're coming in, and we're like way excited about it. We're on top of the Lord. Hosanna, this is going to be great. We're starting the new thing. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. Palm Sunday. And then in the liturgical week, there's Holy Monday and Holy Tuesday. These are minor observances. We don't make much about them in unity, but they commemorate important things in the life of Jesus, such as conversations with disciples and Jewish leaders. And one other thing that doesn't get a lot of airplay, but was very monumental, conversations of Judas preparation to betray Jesus. So once the thrill of Palm Sunday wears off, we might notice rumblings. Something's a little off. What's going on here? I'm just sensing something's happening. Not really sure. I mean, everything seems to be going okay. Have you ever had that feeling, that gut feeling? It's like, something's not quite right here. Maybe you got a new job and it seemed all excited and make all kinds of promises and you've been in for a couple weeks or maybe a month and you realize something's off here. Or maybe you found a new relationship and it's like, Hosanna. And then after a while, you realize something seems to be a little bit off. Or maybe you're doing a new wellness plan and you're like on top of the world and look at how much I can bench and all that. And then later on, it's like, what's that pain? Something seems, oi, that's just age. Something seems to be a bit off. And then we move up to this experience that's referred to as Maundy Thursday. So the Passion Week experience recounts how Jesus had come to celebrate Passover, the Jewish commemoration of the escape from slavery in Egypt. And yet to Christians, it picks up a new meaning in that it became what we know as the Last Supper and the birth of the sacrament of the Eucharist or communion. And it picks up the name Maundy Thursday. Now, the word Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, meaning an order or a commandment, because in the Latin version of the Bible, it says, mandatum novum dovobis, to you I give a new commandment. And in the liturgy and in the reading in John about this experience of what we call Maundy Thursday, when everybody's gathered and they're celebrating Passover, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. You ought to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's a beautiful sentiment. Now, fortunately, there's an escape clause. He didn't say you have to like everybody. That's asking too much, brother. But to love one another means to hold in prayer everyone, the ones who are dear to you and the ones who are at far remove, let's just say. And what do we pray for one another, especially the ones who seem difficult in our lives? I would say we pray for them for the exact same things we want for ourselves: peace of mind, vibrant health, loving relationships, enough abundance without having it to be a problem. Because when our needs are met, when we have self-esteem and self-respect, there's no reason or no cause to go out and harm somebody else and to take something from somebody else and to violate somebody else's autonomy. So we love one another enough to pray for one another and to do as Jesus did, to work for the establishment of that kingdom, or as we might call it, the beloved community today. Love one another. And what's amazing about this and what I love about this experience, these words were offered at a common table. Everybody was welcome. And when we think about so much the imagery of taking nourishment and feeding one another, that's why we have an important phrase that we use often about having a place at the table. And in the kingdom and what we teach in unity, and as so many others are teaching as well, everyone must have a place at the table so that we might nurture and nourish one another, because we're all in this together. So let's love one another. And in our loving, nourish one another, all at the same table, eating together. And then what happens is what we call Good Friday. Good Friday is believed to be a corruption of the term God's Friday. Because Good Friday, which is really a continuation of Maundy Thursday, highlights injustice, violence, cruelty. Recall from the stories that there was a false accusation, a sham trial, violent beating, crucifixion, bloody. It's just awful. And I don't know anyone who hasn't had their own Good Friday. Maybe more than one. You see, our Good Fridays happen to us not like that, although there are people, unfortunately, and we see them on the news, who are subject to random violence and the impacts of their loved ones. We watch that every day. Good Friday also shows up when the doctor gives you the test results you did not see coming. Or when the market crashes. Or when you get that call from your spouse's attorney and you didn't know your spouse had an attorney. Or when an autocrat starts a war that completely disrupts the world's economy. I mean, there are so many ways in which Good Friday happens in our lives. We go on and on and on. But we feel it and we know it when it happens. And it has happened. And what's interesting about the liturgy of Good Friday is, and as we read in Matthew, we read these words. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated to, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And you think about this. We think about the stories of Jesus and what led up to it. Oh, kingdom of God and love, 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 peace. Gonna feed everybody. Gonna be all Mr. Nice Guy to everybody. Gonna welcome everybody in. Everybody's all excited about it. And then what happens 5 days later? They're crying for my execution. They want me to die for what? What happened? I mean, it just makes no cognitive sense how this could have happened. My God, why have you forsaken me? And I don't know anybody who hasn't at some point in their lives said the same thing when it just felt like we were abandoned. Or maybe I'm just generalizing my own experience to you and that's unfair, I get it. And these words really are, as you may be aware, the opening of the 22nd Psalm, but it raised the question, did God really forsake Jesus? I don't think so. It's my belief and that of many theologians that the story is there, the line is put there intentionally so that we might connect with the story itself. So that we have a model for when we feel like absolutely separated and lost and cast out and voted off the island, there's a knowing that the presence and power of the Almighty is always with us. We may not feel it, but it's there. It's always there. And then we have this experience called Holy Saturday. Holy Saturday, throughout the world's Christian traditions, is really a day of silent meditation. And what Holy Saturday, I think, can symbolize for us in a very meaningful way is just the idea of acceptance. We accept that the thing has happened. It came to pass, and there it is. I can't make it go away. I can't deny it. I just accept it as a lived reality. But ultimately, there can be no healing or transformation unless we get to the point of acceptance. It's like in 12-step tradition, why folks have to do this searching and fearless moral inventory. They just accept this is what it is. And once I can lay it all out there and lay all the cards on the table and see what's going on, then I can move forward because I just know this is what I'm working with. It doesn't mean we like it. We sure as heck don't like it when the thing happens, when the Good Friday happens, and we're looking at the aftermath. But only when we are able to do that can we move forward, eyes wide open, heart wide open, heart's right here, and the mind, the rind right here, so that we might move forward. And you might think, well, I wish this story of Easter wasn't so horribly violent, and I wish that in so many different traditions they didn't somehow blame me for that. Well, we don't blame you for that. And Unity's teaching is not about blaming anybody. It's just about looking at the facts of a situation and discerning and determining where is the presence and power of the divine, and how can we use that mindfully to move forward to a better tomorrow, or maybe a better this afternoon. That's how we leverage and look at this story as an affirmation that affirms and confirms that wherever we are, God is. And when things are great and people are going, Hosanna, and when we feel like we've been hung up on a cross to die by ourselves, the presence and power of the Almighty is there. Now, how do we know that? Well, I'm going to talk about that next week. So I'm going to leave, it's kind of a little bit of a cliffhanger. But I tell you, the story has a happy ending. But I say all these things so that we might use these stories as a reflection for where we are in our spiritual growth and journey, so that we are always reminded that wherever we are, God is. When things are going great and everything's cooking, and when things are going awfully and the gas stove has exploded, cannot ever be separated from the presence and power of God. As Jesus even says in the Gospel of Matthew, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. And we can take that to mean Jesus, yes, the person. We can take that to mean the Christ consciousness. We can take that to mean the presence and power of the Almighty, however you define it to be. But wherever we are, God is. Which means there's always a way through, around, over, and under whatever is before us. And that we remember that everybody else is having their own Good Friday experience at some time in some way, then we can recognize our shared experience as human beings. And when we recognize that and our connection to the earth, then we truly can become conduits for the love that God is in co-creating a world that works for everyone. In a world in which resurrection is an experience that happens every day to everyone, not just to Jesus. More about this next week. Peace be with you.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 11 a.m. or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.